You're listening to the All Figured Out podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Barr. As a career coach for parents, a mom, an entrepreneur, and someone who spent 10 plus years in the corporate world, I still don't have it all figured out. And maybe you don't either. In this podcast, I'll share tools and strategies that I use with my clients. And in the many areas where I don't have things figured out, I'll be bringing you some amazing guest experts to help us fill in the gaps. So tune in each week as we explore how to make career and life decisions that truly work for you, your family, and your big goals. Let's make moves. Hello, and welcome back to the All Figured Out podcast. I am your host, Andrea Barr. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I am excited to dive into a topic today that is something I've personally experienced, something that a lot of my clients experience, and something that you might be experiencing or you have experienced in the past, or you know somebody who might be going through this right now. That is figuring out how to stay at a job that you don't love. I personally think that this is just not a topic that is spoken about enough. I think that we can go to dinner parties or we're chatting with friends and we might be, you know, kind of complaining or whinging a little bit about the work that we do or how we don't love our job. And the discussion that I think is not had often enough is, how do you stay at a job that you don't love? Now, this is a podcast for parents. And so I'm always wanting to come from a place of supporting you where you're at in your life. And let's call a spade a spade. Financial stability is one of the most important things that I hear time and time again from my clients. Financial stability is what allows you to sleep well at night. It is so much more meaningful, you know, from my own experience and from the experience of clients that I work with. It is just so important in this phase of life because you go from potentially being, you know, a single or double income household where you have all the time and potentially money in the world to do what you please. And now you've got a dependent or a few little dependents running around. And that financial stability is just so much more meaningful and so much more important. So how that translates to the topic we're talking about today is sometimes that means that you have to stay, or you feel like you have to stay, or you want to stay at a job, but you don't necessarily love it. So in today's episode, first of all, I'm going to reassure you that it's okay to do that. It's okay to stay at a job that you don't love. And I'm going to be sharing three strategies for how you can make your work days and your work life more tolerable when you're in a job that you don't love. Chances are you're not sitting at your desk taking notes on this episode. I've got you. If you ever want to go for a recap of the episode, head to andreabarr.com. And that's where you can find recaps of every episode that I do, including this one today. So before we get into the strategies that I'm going to share with you today around how you can make your work days just a little more tolerable and more enjoyable, let's just first unpack a little bit more why it's okay to stay at a job that you might not love for financial reasons. Now, I have been susceptible to this in the past where I, you know, promote hashtag job love and I'm like, love the work that you do, you know, find your passion and go with it. And I still believe that, but I also know that two things can be true. And in some situations, while I think that everybody deserves to love the work that they do and love the work that they do when they leave their family, especially, I think it's also okay to stay at a job you don't love for financial reasons. So I'll just share, you know, a quick anecdote of a personal story of mine. This is absolutely nothing against the workplace that I was previously at, but I will just say that when I became a mom, I went back to my corporate job where I was working in learning and development and employee and leadership development. And it was an incredible job. It was at a really reputable company. It was great on paper. I had a lot of responsibility. I got to do a lot of, you know, really cool work. But when I came back after maternity leave with my first daughter, my first child, I just knew that it wasn't right. And I have to say, I was no longer loving my job and I was going to work and it was feeling a lot harder than I knew it should. Now, for financial reasons, to be honest, and based on some really big personal circumstances, I did an episode with my husband, Scotty, on everything that was going on in our life at that time. So you can go back and listen to that episode. But I went back to work, and I'm going to be totally honest, for purely financial reasons. I kind of knew going back that I didn't really want to go back to that particular job, to that organization. But for, you know, reasons bigger than passion and purpose, I did need to go back. So I went back after maternity leave, and I knew that I had to stay for at least a certain amount of time. I also really wanted to try it out, to be honest. I really wanted to go back, see what it was like, prove to myself that, you know, I could give it one last shot and really, really be sure that it wasn't the place for me. But again, I didn't really feel like I had a choice in the matter of going back or not. Now, another thing that I would just call out as kind of an aside tangent is that sometimes it's easier on your brain and on your mental space to go back to an organization and a job that you know than starting something completely new when you've become a parent. So I'm talking about, like, you know, for my circumstances, I was coming back after becoming a parent for the first time, and I had two options. I did have to go back to work, and so it was I going to be going back to work to the job that I had previously at the organization that I had previously, or do I want to set some plans in motion to find a new job? Again, based on some of the wild circumstances that were happening in our life at this time, my husband just came out of a bunch of really, really, really scary surgeries. We had a new baby daughter. I knew that mentally I just couldn't handle going and looking for a new job, even though I'm a career coach. And more importantly for me, it was integrating myself into a new role. As we get further on in your career, it takes a little bit longer to really enmesh yourself into an organization and build trust, I would say, especially when you're getting into that like middle or leadership role where I was kind of at. And so for me, I was like, you know what? This is what I need. I need to go back to something familiar. I also loved my team. I loved the people I worked with. And so there were some silver linings. So that's kind of my story around it. So I did go back to this organization. And when I reflect back on that time, there were definitely a couple things that I started to implement without really realizing to make my days a bit more tolerable. Not saying it was a toxic place. I'm not saying it was an intolerable environment, but it was a situation that I didn't love and it felt a little bit hard to stay motivated. And so that is, that's when I started to kind of just reflect on that experience that I had, and that will kind of influence some of the strategies that I'll share with you today. Now, I also want to just put this back on you and say, if you're listening to this, chances are you are, you know, you've been in this situation before and you just kind of want to reflect on the situation you've been in. Potentially you're in this situation currently. And so I want you, and I want to give you permission to just sit with the idea of what it looks like to be okay with working in a job that you don't love. And how might you find meaning and purpose around the reasons why you're staying at that job? So for me, I could have been like, oh, I'm in this job that I don't love. Oh, what am I going to do? But what I had to do for myself is I had to reframe things and say, I'm in this job for a reason. And the reason is stability, you know, mental health stability, and for financial reasons. And once I kind of reframed things for myself and I said, okay, I understand my purpose. I understand my reason for being here. And it might not be passion and purpose and all of that. I kind of got on board with the idea a little bit more. Like, I got up in the morning and I knew why I was going to that workplace. The problem is, and what I see with clients I work with, is when you are waking up in the morning and you're like, I don't know why I'm going to this job. I don't know why I'm getting up and doing this work. I've lost zero connection to the reason for going to this job. So, you know, that would be one situation. If you really feel like you're not financially supported by the role, you have zero enjoyment, you truly have no connection to why you're going to that job and why you're going to that organization, then hey, reach out, because we can talk about that. And maybe it is time for you to make a change. But chances are there's some reason why you're waking up in the morning and going to this job. And so I really encourage you to find what that connection is so that you can make getting up in the morning a little bit easier. Okay, so you've kind of decided, okay, I kind of understand, or I do understand why it is that I'm going to this organization, why I'm waking up in the morning, I'm heading to go do this job that I don't really love, and you kind of understand the purpose for that. That's the first step. So I'm going to share with you three strategies for just making those days a bit more fun, a bit more tolerable. So number one is find joy in the small moments. Now, I'm talking like micro moments. I'm not saying, you know, find joy and appreciation for the fact that you have a job. I'm going to be honest, when people say things like that, I know personally that's, it's kind of a hard thing to hear. It's like, yes, I get that. I have gratitude. I know I'm incredibly privileged, and you're probably in that position too. But that still doesn't always provide enough to make you feel like you can tolerate the day or the stressors or whatever it is that's making the workplace or the job not that fun. So instead, get super, super micro, like move away from this, like, you know, blanket statement of like, oh, feel gratitude. And what are some of the really, really, really small moments that you can either incorporate into your routine at work, or you can, you know, spotlight for yourself to be like, oh yeah, I do have some really fun moments in my day, and I'm going to focus on those versus focusing on the moments of my day that I don't love. So some examples of some of these small moments could be short breaks. Do you work in a place where you can get outside for a 5 or 10 minute walk and it's a beautiful or an inspiring place? Or are you in a situation where they are cool with you going for a walk and that's great in and of itself? A second one, which is a huge one, would be connecting with colleagues. Is there one or two or more people in your work environment that you really enjoy connecting with? And could you build in, you know, a chat, you know, I'm going to go connect with one person a day, just pop by their desk, say hi, or, you know, Slack them or Microsoft Teams them or whatever it is, give them a quick call and just have, you know, a coffee chat over Zoom or whatever it is. Or is there a way that you can connect more with the people that you really enjoy that you work with? Doesn't have to be these like multi-hour long things. My little sister, actually, I was chatting with her on FaceTime this weekend, and she was like, I don't know. She was just laughing about the fact that one of her and her friends actually FaceTime every single morning. So this is one of her coworkers, and they end up FaceTiming in the morning. They like get to work, they're sitting at their desk doing their emails or whatever it is, and they work remotely. And so they FaceTime or they Zoom every morning for a quick little catch up. And I thought that was so cool. And though she likes her job, what a great way, if you're not really feeling super inspired, you know, connecting with the people that do inspire you and that just, you know, bring a bit of humanity into your day. Are there any sort of benefits that you're not really utilizing? So when I say benefits, I don't really mean your extended benefits. What I'm talking about is, are there any sort of fun perks, like clubs, social events, yoga, workout classes? Like, are there any sort of these types of things that are perks that you're not really utilizing that could actually just make your day more fun, or make, even if you're not, say you're not making as much money as you want to be making, that kind of add to the value of what you're getting out of the workplace? So think about some of those maybe untapped perks or things that you're not really exploring or, you know, participating in that could make the day a bit more fun. Another piece here is finding small moments of joy in maybe some of the work tasks that you're doing. So is there a way to make a task that's kind of laborious or kind of boring or hard or complicated or awkward or whatever it is, how can you make it more fun? So I always struggled with, I never really had, you know, extensive training in Excel. And in my last job, there was definitely moments where I needed to be doing some like wild Excel work to track results and metrics of some of the professional development programs we were running. I am not good at Excel. It would stress me out. It would take me so long Googling all these different things. And so I would enlist my girlfriend, who I absolutely adore, and say, hey, can you help me with this Excel thing? And I would do this for lots of different tasks where I'd maybe buy a person a coffee and be like, can you help me with this task? And it would take the person like 10 or 15 minutes and it would take me 2 hours. And we got to do it together. I got to learn something. We got to laugh about the fact that I was so bad at Excel. And so kind of created a culture of leaning on each other. And then, you know, in reverse, the person knew that they could come to me if, you know, who knows what kind of technical task I could provide, but maybe like some emotional support or a bit of, you know, coaching conversation or whatever. It made it a lot more fun. And there was just little moments like that that I started realizing it's more fun to do things together. As an extrovert, I found that sometimes, you know, elements of my job that were in isolation really made my job feel intolerable. So how could I turn that around and make some of those tasks more tolerable? Or maybe it's co-working. Like maybe you just feel like your day is spent so much time at your desk, whether it's at home or in an office, and you're spending a lot of time on your own. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe it'll be fun to just sit and co-work on Zoom or in person with somebody that I work with, and they might have a lot of tasks that they have to do on their own as well. So can you just both be doing your tasks and just, you know, co-work together, making a few more moments of joy in that time? So that is finding joy in the small moments. Now, strategy number two for how to make your workdays a little more tolerable when you don't necessarily love your job is setting some goals and boundaries. So goals would be creating some sort of achievable daily or weekly goal to create a sense of accomplishment. Now, even though you might not feel like your job, if you're not loving it, maybe you don't really feel like the certain tasks that you're doing, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or some sort of monotonous task, you don't really feel like it's, you know, the most fulfilling when you or rewarding when you complete that task. But could you gamify anything in your job to make it, you know, a bit more fun? So for instance, is it, you know, doing your timesheets? Is it creating a game that's like, if I create, do my timesheets, if you have timesheets, doing my timesheets at the end of each day. And if I do that 5 days in a row, I can go and, you know, get that chocolate croissant that I want. Or setting some like little goals for yourself. If you have a sales role, I'm going to reach out to 5 people this week, 1 person a day or 5 people a day for outbound sales leads. And if I do that, then I get to do this. Or even just tracking. Like if you're someone that just loves a check mark, can you set some goals for yourself? And just the act of checking something off a list will just provide you a little bit more fulfillment. So again, creating goals and really feel like you're accomplishing something can be really helpful. For me, I actually find that I don't often create to-do lists at the beginning of a day or beginning of a week that are like really, really, really long and that I am expected to check off. What I've actually started doing is I write down at the end of the day what I accomplished. I find that especially since becoming a parent, when I'm looking back on a day where I am juggling being a mom and I'm also working a little bit part-time, I'm like, what did I even do today? I felt like I was all over the place. But the act of actually writing down what I've done during that day can provide so much more clarity and relief and a sense of accomplishment where I'm like, wow, if I'm just thinking in my brain that is so full of stuff and I have a terrible memory, what did I do today? I can't think of anything. But when I really put pen to paper and I write things down, I'm like, holy smokes, I accomplished so much. And it really provides me a, you know, a feeling of like a pat on the back where I'm like, yeah, you go girl. Like you did something today and you accomplished a lot. And you know, Andrea, I'm proud of you. So that can be really helpful. Now, the second piece to this is also setting healthy boundaries. I know we hear about boundaries a lot, but it is so important. So if your workplace or your work situation doesn't feel tolerable at the moment, you're not loving it, it's providing you, you know, it's a bit of a strain on your current life, are there certain boundaries that you can be setting in place to make it more tolerable? So for instance, can you have some really powerful conversations with your manager or your leadership to talk about hours boundaries? Like if you're feeling like there's a bit of a gray area because you have to leave work for daycare pickup and you feel like you're creeping out every single day, or you're offline and people are like, oh, she's offline, but she should be off online because our work hours are, you know, 8 to 6 or 9 to 5 and she's offline at 4 p.m. or he's offline at 4 p.m. Set some boundaries. So if there's anything like that that feels gray or that feels kind of like you're tiptoeing or anything feels uncomfortable or awkward or, you know, anything like that, if there's any incompletes or messes in your life, clear them up. Those can be done by having really, really good conversations. I have, I coach people through this type of work all the time. A lot of times though, people come to me for career changes. We are, you know, coaching around how to make a current situation more tolerable. And a lot of times, I would say 9 times out of 10, our coaching sessions revolve around having powerful conversations to set boundaries. So how can you do that? What are some of the boundaries that you want to set in place? Because if you're working in a situation where you don't love what you do, you need to prevent burnout. And burnout can happen a lot quicker if you're in a situation that doesn't feel tolerable in this moment. So set those boundaries, maintain, you know, work-life rhythms that work for you and work for the organization as well. So there's no uncertainty, there's no tiptoeing, there's no awkwardness. So strategy number three, invest in professional development. So if you're in a situation where you're like, I am doing a job right now that I have no desire to be in for, you know, the next 3, 6, 9 months or 3, 6, 9 years, it is totally irrelevant to what I want to do with my, you know, future career. This happens a lot. Then what is some professional development that you could either engage in at work to further the desired career that you have, Or what is some professional development that you can be doing and investing in on your own that can help you to start chip away at that future goal? This is such an easy one. This can be so motivating and so fun. So you probably have personal development or professional development budgets at your workplace that are untapped. And say you want to be a leader someday. That is something that, regardless of if you're in a really technical job that's irrelevant to what you want to do in the future, leadership itself is kind of a broad strokes professional development bucket. So what about that? Could you invest and get your company to pay for, say, coaching or some sort of course on leadership? And that can help you feel like you're moving the needle forward, even though you're in a job that you don't love. And a second piece to this could be, say that there is, you're in a job, say, I'm going to say sales manager right now, but you want to become a developer. Are there any courses that you could be taking where you could chip away at slowly over time to start to build up the skills and experience and credentials that you need to move into that down the line? So it doesn't have to be always these short-term, okay, I need to become a developer tomorrow. Maybe you're like, yeah, maybe in a year or two, I want to switch careers. And I'm very curious about that career. Now, what that does is it's setting you up with the skills that you need to get that job down the line, but it's also giving you a taste for that skill set or that work to see if you even like it. So sometimes you might invest, say you invest a couple thousand dollars into a program because you're like, I want to become a developer. And you go through the program. In my opinion, it is such good money to spend to actually rule something out. So say you've had this niggling feeling in your mind for years where you're like, I think I want to become a developer. You invest a couple thousand dollars, do this program, and you're like, oh, hell no, I don't want to become a developer. That is an amazing use of money, in my opinion, if you can afford it, because what you've done is you've basically just done a really small test. In the grand scheme of things, a couple dollars versus, you know, completely switching careers and realizing it's not something you want to do, that's an incredible investment. So what other professional development opportunities can you seek out to help you figure out what your next move is or help you to achieve the goals that you have in your career? So that is what I have to say. Those are the three strategies to make your workday a bit more tolerable if you're in a situation that you don't love. Again, I want to remind you that this is a crazy season of life. As my financial planner tells us, this is a very expensive season of life. There are a lot of factors. Our little ones, if you have little ones, need a lot from you, or even if you have older ones, they still need a lot, and you want to be present and there. And sometimes to be present in there means to take, you know, financial stressors off the table and do work that potentially you don't love. So come back to these three strategies. Find small joy in the moments of your day. Set realistic goals and boundaries for yourself in your current work environment. And find a way to invest in professional development, whether it is paid for by your organization or you are investing in yourself. I know you can do it. I know that you can find just a bit more joy and have a bit more fun in a working situation that you might not 100% love. And I know that work that you do love is possible for you, but it doesn't have to be right now. Sometimes just getting through a storm or a cloudy-ish day and making it a bit more fun is the right choice for you and for your family. Thank you for listening. You can access all resources mentioned in this episode via my website, andreabarr.com/podcast. And let's chat on Instagram. I'm at Andrea Barr Coaching and I reply to every DM I get. If you loved this episode, don't forget to quickly hit that button on your podcast app to give me a 5-star rating and drop in a review. It would truly mean the world. And if you're like me and love to share things that you love, send this episode to a friend who you think would appreciate this topic. Thanks again for listening, and I'll chat with you next week.